Happy to be checking in again with Quincy City Council President Nina Liang for an update on the October 5th council meeting. Hey, Nina, nice to see you.
Nice to see you as always.
Stationary this time. I think last time you were in the passenger seat of a parked vehicle.
Parked, yes. Yeah, stay tuned. Maybe I feel like I have to up it up now, you know, and then see what I'm going to do for the next one.
We do a new feature. Where's yeah. Find the
that would be fun, yeah.
We know where you are on Monday nights every other week, though. That's on Zoom, conducting the city council meetings. How'd it go last night?
I think it went really well. Yeah, it's you know, certainly been a challenge in doing the meetings remote. You know, my colleagues and I, we always, you know, like to do the meetings in person, but, you know, we just want to be mindful of everyone's safety, and hopefully soon we'll be back in chambers.
I know, that's what everybody's hoping for. What are you hearing from folks that you're talking to about how school's going so far?
It's a challenge, for sure. I mean, I just think all around between teachers and parents, regardless of, you know, what their work situation is like, that work-life balance at home, it's incredibly challenging. You know, at the end of the day, they just want what's going to be the best learning situation and environment for kids, and it's so challenging, you know, regardless of how old the kids are too. Just with friends that I'm talking to who have kids, you know, ranging from, you know, pre-K all the way up to high school age, even in college, you know, it takes a toll on them. So it's really tough. I mean, there's no singular perfect answer, and everyone is trying their hardest with the resources that we have available to us and the very, very limited information that, you know, continues to change. I remember even when you and I first started talking back in March, you know, information changed from day to day, and that's still happening. And so to be able to make a decision for even the next month or the next, you know, semester for college students and professors and the next school year for teachers we have here, I mean, it's really, really challenging.
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to a lot of folks, you know, who are trying to make this happen as best as possible every single day. So maybe that'll be one of the honorees at the city council meeting in the near future. I know you're trying to
100%. That is like the very least we can do for our educators right now is give them a thank you. I mean, gosh, anything we can do to support them on a daily basis, big or small, for all those who are tuning in who know an educator in their life or are an educator themselves, you know, just take that moment to show some appreciation and gratitude, because my goodness, this is the time that we do really need to rally behind them.
Sure. Speaking of, you had the fire chief in last night.
We did, yeah, Fire Chief Joe Jackson. So again, for the honoring of our COVID-19 heroes that we're doing at the beginning of each session, you know, again, my colleague, Councilor Pramucci, had introduced this, and my colleagues and I are super excited to jump on board with this. So at the beginning of each council meeting, we're going to be doing an honoring of COVID-19 heroes. And so the first one, we had the police chief and, you know, police chief in to honor the police department. Now, last night we had the fire chief, Chief Joe Jackson, in, and some members of the fire department as well. So it's great to see them and to take that moment to honor them.
And I know you're not promoting the future ones because you want people to tune in, right?
Yes, we do. We have them lined up for the remainder of this year, and we'll be doing them into next year as well. And for the foreseeable future, again, I think this is a great opportunity to pause and show some appreciation and some gratitude.
Nice, nice. So there was a starting out with the Finance Committee meeting. Could you tell us what happened there?
Yes, so this was a Finance Committee meeting to discuss the item for the communications tower that was introduced at our previous meeting. So for a lot of items like this, when it gets introduced, we move it into a committee to have presentation, a public comment, full discussion of the body before we move it to a recommendation in committee, and then take it out at the full council body for a vote. So this was introduced to us at the last meeting. It went into our Finance Committee that's chaired by Ward 1 Councilor Dave McCarthy. And then last night we were able to get a presentation. We opened it up to public comment as well and invited the public to come and, you know, give their thoughts and ask some questions. We didn't get too many folks that came in who participated as far as giving public comment. We did have quite a number of folks tuning into the meeting and participating that way last night. So that was great. And we did get some folks who emailed us some questions and concerns as well. So my colleagues and I were able to go through that. You know, some of the questions and concerns that were brought up or obviously the cost, you know, especially wanting to know, you know, from soup to nuts, what the cost and what the process looks like as far as timeline goes. And so we are looking at a 6-month timeline for this project to be fully completed and fully realized, just understanding what that process looks like, you know. So a lot of the materials and the tower itself will be fabricated offsite, which is great, you know, to limit the amount of disruption as much as possible. And then when that's going to be brought on site to be erected, it's going to take about a couple of weeks. That there's a 30-year guarantee on the product itself, you know, that's important to us as well. We want to make sure that any products we, you know, own and pay for here in the city have a long shelf life to them. And so just understanding that aspect as well. And, you know, I think one of the biggest concerns that we heard coming into this from the public, as well as from my colleagues that they expressed as well, is just, you know, what were the alternatives? You know, what was the process in making this decision to choose this specific site for it? And so that was discussed last night as well, as just understanding that we looked across the city and tried to look at other locations, and as far as what was the best location for this and the least disruptive to, you know, neighborhoods and community members and whatnot, was this location here.
Okay. And it is city property that it's going to be located on?
Correct. And that was one, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. That was something that was brought up last night as well. A few of my colleagues had asked, you know, what is the option here to potentially erected on another property or another building that may or may not be city owned. And similar to the position that we're in now, when we are erecting it, you know, on a property that is not ours, we are at, you know, unfortunately, if we're in the hands of, you know, somebody else or another company, another person, and we're at their will with whatever they want to do with that building, you know, and those costs can reflect back upon us too over the years. And so you're absolutely, for it to be on a city owned property, we have full control over that.
Yeah, of course, the city did own the hospital at one time many, many years ago, but that's not the case anymore. So,
unfortunately.
Yeah. So that was approved?
It was. Mm-hmm.
Very good. And in terms of a timeline, you say 6 months. So that's a complete build out in a 6-month timeline?
Yep. And again, it's not going to be 6 months on site. You know, the majority of the work will be off-site where it's all fabricated. And then the on-site work will be some of the site work itself, which will be a few weeks. And then once you bring the tower to the site and erect it, it'll be about a few weeks as well. So Chris Cassani and the TPAL department estimates, you know, everything going well, you know, with everything that's going on right now. Again, it's so unpredictable. Yeah. We're looking at spring of next year that it should be completed.
Oh, okay. And does this also include a new system inside the police and fire departments or no?
No, so this is just the brand new updated system for the tower itself. And so, you know, as it stands right now, you know, with any technology, big or small, there are constant updates that need to happen. And so with the fabrication of the new tower, there will be, you know, new updates to the tower as well.
Okay, very good. And then you opened up the full council meeting. So what were some of the highlights?
We did. So I think, of course, the highlight was being able to honor, you know, Chief Joe Jackson and all the women and men in the fire department. And we were able to get the LDA re-presented to the city council. So this was an LDA, a land disposition agreement, which is a document that we see on the council for any development on any public property. And so this is an LDA that was in front of us for a piece of the property on the Hancock lot. And as folks can probably tell as they're driving around that area, you know, quite a number of projects that have already been completed, but there is a section over on the McGrath Highway side that has not yet been completed. And so there is the land disposition agreement that has come in front of us with respect to the project for that parcel. This came in front of us, you know, in different iterations over the last couple of years. And there's another iteration now, hopefully the final one, that we're going to be able to dive into and digest and take a look at. So similar to items that come in and go to finance committee, this item came in and went to ordinance. So Councilor Mahoney, she's the chair of the ordinance committee, will be able to hold meetings, multiple meetings with community input, give opportunities for us to see presentations from different members who are involved in this, and give opportunities for us to ask questions on it as well. So that's really exciting. You know, of course, we want to make sure that the sort of upward momentum that we've had in the development in the city over the years continues. And that process, you know, really is an intricate one with so many different members of, you know, city government and developers involved. But we also want to make sure that we continue the community participation in that as well.
Yeah. Who would the land be disposed to and for what?
So LBC is the group that's interested in that parcel.
Okay. And mm-hmm. They're looking at more residential development, or is that part of the LDA, or is that not?
It's all in the LDA. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So any timeline for vetting that, do you think?
I'm not sure right now. I know that we have a couple of ordinance and oversight meetings for other items coming down the pike, but we are hoping to, you know, get it on the books and, you know, start engaging the public in this process soon.
Okay. What else would you say was of note?
Let me take a look. I mean, everything's always interesting in and of itself, depending on, I guess, who's listening and who's tuning in. We have a couple of ordinances come in with respect to system changes to the ordinance that we currently have. So there's the changes to the license and permitting for trespass towing. And that's on private property for anybody who wants to call in for private trespassing, you know, for towing purposes. Some changes to just the application for business licenses and regulations and that process for just including fingerprinting to increase the security of those who are operating here in the city. One of the things that my colleague, Councilor Pamucci, had put in is just some updates to the affordable housing section, which is always a top priority for all of us on the council, but that's something that he always champions. And so I'm really excited for that one. We got an MBTA resolve that was submitted and supported fully by everybody on the council. This is something that QCAN actually brought to us, Quincy Climate Action Network, and I cannot rave about them enough. One of the things that I love about this city is the number of residents who are so active on issues that are so important to them, and particularly with, you know, environmental awareness and issues around making sure that we are moving in the direction of being more of a green city. QCAN is always at the forefront of that, and they're so innovative and so creative with their work, and we work very closely with them and have been able to work closely with them over the years to introduce, you know, resolved and ordinances to the city council that passed unanimously. And this was another one they brought to us. You know, we've all been a part of the meetings that the MBTA has held for the new bus depot that's in the old Lowe's site. Right. You know, a number of my colleagues have been over at those meetings over the years as well with me, and QCAN has been there and been very active. And, you know, the resounding, I think, ask from all of us is that we have all electric, you know, buses coming out of that station. I mean, they're going to build a brand new bus depot, and it's going to be outfitted to accommodate whatever buses the MBTA want to put in there. We want those buses to be fully electric. You know, this is the time. If you're going to spend the money on outfitting a new facility, you know, you should outfit it to accommodate all electric buses. And that's what we want to see. That's the direction we want to move in. And so this was a huge group effort from members of Quincy Climate Action Network, and an opportunity for us to stand behind them and say in a resounding, yes, this is what we want. This is our ask. And, you know, I don't want to say demand. I feel like that comes across a little harsh, but, you know, this is something that we all want to see across the city. All of my colleagues and myself, we want to see this happen. So, you know, hopefully that's what will be delivered by the MBTA.
Yeah, I know it's been brought up at the community meetings about this particular proposal as well. The meetings I've seen have been non-committal about it so far, but maybe with the full strength of the city council, you know, behind it, it might have a little more meat.
I hope so. I mean, look, I understand these are incredibly challenging times for everyone, public, private sector, you know, across the board. But, you know, I just saw an article today, this morning, about the Red Line and Orange Line trains being delayed. I think it's a year.
It is a year.
So I understand, but they're still moving in the direction of getting those new trains, right? So it's just about, you know, putting the effort behind it to say, yes, we are committed to doing this. And maybe they can't commit to a timeline right now, but if you are working towards that goal, we will make it happen. You know, I'm sure we will find a way to make it happen. If this is something that so many people, you know, with a resounding yes, they want this, we'll find a way, you know, to be able to just say, oh no, we can't really commit because we're not really sure. I mean, that's a very defeatist attitude, and I'm not a defeatist kind of person, as I'm sure you know. So I'm excited. I'm really grateful for the efforts of QCAN to give us the opportunity to get behind that.
Great. Okay. Very good. So that was unanimously passed?
Absolutely.
That was all. Yeah. By the way, is the plastic bag ban still in effect? Is it back in effect in Quincy? Do you know, Nina?
It is not yet. No. That was frustrating. I just went from like really excited to really like, oh, you know,
raised the question in my mind when we talk about QCAN.
Yeah, no, that was such an incredible effort, and we were able to get it moving. We had a start date, and I want to say 2 weeks after the start date is when the state had pulled it, and so I.
Sorry, it down. I'm sure it'll come back at some point.
I hope so. That was also such a great collaborative effort. You know, it just, it wasn't something that was a one and done. It was something that, you know, all of my colleagues were able to look at and, you know, make updates to and make changes to better it. And members of the community helped to actually put that together, working with the administration. And, you know, it just, that ordinance was such a great example of, you know, collaborative efforts from everyone who should be involved, right, in creating legislation and creating laws for a city. And, you know, to see it implemented and then a couple of weeks later taken away, you know, by no choice of any of ours, it's a pandemic, you know, what can you do? So I'm hoping that will come back online soon.
Yeah. Okay. Another resolve with your name attached to it, I see, is a mid-year fiscal tax update.
Yes. Council Mahoney brought this forward to all of us. So we were all, you know, really excited to support this, but this is something that I was thrilled to be able to co-sponsor with her because, you know, it's strange to think, but the budget happens back in the beginning of the summer, you know, and now here we are in the fall. And as you know, Joe, from whenever we talk about this, looking at the city's budget and finances and the impact that has on all of us as residents and taxpayers here in this city, you know, is one of our top priorities, if not the most important, you know, thing that we vote on as a city council body is the budget, you know. And coming into this year's budget discussion, it was incredibly challenging. You know, we were thrilled to see that we, you know, didn't have to have any layoffs, you know, and impact people's, you know, obviously livelihood, which was great. But that being said, things change so quickly right now. And we just don't know what's going to happen and what's to come. And we need to know what the impact is looking backwards, you know. And when we were looking at the budget back in May and June, we were looking back only a couple of months at the impact of COVID. And I remember even at that point, you know, I think folks thought by this time, we would be back in person and things would be open and 100% open anyways. You know, we'd be through all four phases that Governor Baker put together. And we're not anywhere close to that right now. If anything, I feel like the conversation right now is we need to turn it back a little bit and dial it back a few phases. And so everything even right now is still so much in the air as it was back in the spring when we were looking at the budget. So to be able to take this moment in time and to say, let's take a look at the mid-year of our budget cycle and just look and see what's happened the last few months, you know, and take as much information as possible to look ahead the next few months and then in preparing for the budget next year as well. I mean, the time goes by so quickly and so much changes in that time. And so it'll be really helpful to get that update and to see where we are as far as the city's finances go.
Yeah. So that would be from the administration you're looking for that update?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's end on a positive note.
It's always positive with you.
Come on. Oh, thank you.
I have one. We can end on. And then I'll throw it to you. So one of the items that came in yesterday, actually, and I should have mentioned this at the beginning too, is a resolve that just was to get an update and to see what we can do to help with the elections process this year. And so we were able to get some information from Nikki, our clerk, you know, who manages all the elections for the city, which, my goodness, she should write a novel or a book or some sort of guide on this and have other cities and towns look at it, because the work her and her team does, I mean, hands down, it's spotless, it's pristine, it's incredibly well organized. And so we got an update from her and her department yesterday on what they're doing. And so I have some of the information here and I'd love to do a little PSA on it. So it's actually really interesting information. So for the primary election in September, she said 18,580 people voted early or absentee. And that's out of about 61,000 registered voters here. And as of right now, or as of last night, we had over 20,000 requests already.
Wow.
So I think more is to come, but because of that, so what she did is she expanded the early voting for the first time. And we're going to be doing October 17th and October 18th, which is the weekend option, as well as October 24th and October 25th. So those two weekends will be early voting at North Quincy High School from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then if you want to early vote during the week, you can go Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And also, if you had requested a mail-in ballot, you could also do a drop-off option at City Hall if you are concerned with any, you know, as far as time goes with mailing it and making sure that it's received. If you feel comfortable and feel safe, you can drop it off at City Hall. There's a little secure bin that they had put outside, and you can do that up until 8 p.m. on election night itself. So if on election day you said, oh my gosh, I forgot to drop this in the mail, you know, you can fill out your mail-in ballot at home and then go to City Hall up until 8 o'clock at night on election night and dropping the ballot there. So, I mean, these are just a few of the plethora of things that her office has been working on to make sure that every single person can get the opportunity to go out and vote this election.
Yeah, I know Councillor Pamucci had suggested possibly neighborhood drop boxes, fire station polling places. Was any of that going to happen?
No, so as of right now, the drop box location will be at City Hall. We want to make sure, again, wherever it's going to be, that it is the most secure. But it was helpful to know that we could actually look at other options and see, you know, is this a possibility? Is it going to work with the plan that we currently have? And as of right now, what they had put together is something that, you know, had seen success in the primary election. Mm-hmm. And so moving forward, you know, hopefully we'll be successful in November as well.
Okay, great. Good to know. And the dates of the early voting again, Nina?
So it starts October 17th at North Quincy High School.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be early voting at City Hall also again.
Correct, throughout the week. So if you wanted to go throughout the week instead of that Saturday or Sunday, you can go that Monday at City Hall.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. Yeah. I know you attended a ribbon cutting ceremony out in Germantown today. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was amazing. So there was a collaborative effort with a number of people in the planning department and our folks over at NeighborWorks and at Work Inc. and obviously DDS. And they came together and they erected this beautiful home for five individuals with developmental disabilities in Germantown. And this is actually one of six homes that they operate across the city. It was just so inspiring to see. It was a gorgeous autumn, you know, afternoon, morning, late morning, I guess. And just to be out there and see the individuals who are going to be able to call this place home and to see the efforts that went in behind. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful home, you know, and Ward 1 Councilor Dave McCarthy, this is something that's very near and dear to him. He has members in his family with developmental disabilities as well. And to look at this project, it's not just going to impact the individuals who live there, it impacts their families as well. You know, I mean, in my own personal experience, you know, I remember looking at homes across the South Shore with my parents for my younger sister, you know, when she aged out of the system. And, you know, this is a very long process, a very intimate process. You know, this is a family member who you love and care for, and you want to make sure that they're in a good place, but you also want to make sure that you set them up for success, you know, that they have independence and that they can live a life, a fulfilling life, you know, and it really is up to where that home is, what's around that home, and frankly, who runs that home that's going to be able to determine that success. And so to be able to have a brand new home like that to service, you know, individuals in this community here, it just was so inspiring to see. It really was an incredible, incredible morning. Definitely the perfect way to start my day. So I'm hugely grateful to everyone over at NeighborWorks and Mass Inc. And again, the planning department who put this together. And of course, the folks at DDS who helped to run the programming in there as well. It's just, it's really incredible to see these individuals and how they're going to have, you know, hopefully such an incredible independent life for themselves, you know.
And it's going to lift up the neighborhood that it's in, you know, as well. It's a win-win-win, I think.
I think so too. It's a beautiful, beautiful home. And, you know, for folks who are familiar with that neighborhood, they know, and as you and I were talking about earlier, you're familiar as well. It just was sort of overgrown brush before then, you know, and now it's this beautiful home with a gorgeous backyard and parking, and it's, you know, off a main road, and it's absolutely beautiful. I'm really excited that we have that here in the city.
That's great. When is your next city council meeting?
So we actually have our regularly scheduled meeting on October 19th, but we have an off night scheduled for a couple of committee meetings as well. So on Thursday, October 15th, we have a joint meeting of the Ordinance Committee led by Councilor Mahoney and the Oversight Committee led by Councilor DeBona. So we'll be discussing a couple of items that were brought in previously that we want to get updates on. So that'll be Thursday, October 15th, also over Zoom. And then October 19th, which is our regularly scheduled council meeting.
Okay, great. And I always like to ask you, Nina, for folks who want to reach out to get in touch with you, some good ways.
Yeah, so they can email nliang@quincyma.gov. They can get to me on Facebook or Twitter. It's at Nina Liang. They can call or text me at 617-657-0857. So however they want to reach out, they can call, text, email. Unfortunately, my phone's attached to my hip, so it always comes to me. However you guys want to reach out, I am here. So. Okay.
Thanks for your time. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Always good to see you. We'll see where I show up next time, you know, with the back.
We'll spin the wheel and see where Nina pops up.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Thanks again, Nina.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.